Radio.
What is Hope? A talk by Sister Anthony Mary at Reasons for Hope 2014, held at the Benedict XVI Retreat Centre in Grosvale, Sydney.
So I wanted to teach you about the Christian meaning of hope and how this theological virtue is essential for living a moral life. The word hope is often used to express optimism or well-wishing. It is common to say, "I hope you get well," or "I hope the best for you." Hope for a Christian means to go forward with the goal of his or her salvation in sight. This four-letter word means a great deal. It is one of the theological virtues, a supernatural virtue, a gift from God infused at baptism, which enables the Christian to strive for holiness. Hope strengthens one to be moral, to strive to follow Christ on the way. When faith is weak and a struggle comes in which one feels he or she has been capsized or lost, when confusion and sadness are so acutely felt and happiness seems unreachable, this is when hope comes to the rescue. One may ask, how is it possible to have hope when there is so much disappointment and injustice, sadness and suffering in the human experience we call life? A question in the minds of some, how can I forgive when I have been so deeply hurt? In response to confrontation with some evil, one may wonder, how can I go forward when the pain of a loss or an injustice is so deeply felt, I do not know how to go beyond it? These are important questions in the life of the soul that longs to know, to love, and be loved by God. They reveal the need for hope and union with God. Christian hope is a virtue that guides God's people to salvation and beatitude. It motivates moral activity and leads the faithful Christian to participate in the divine life of the Trinity with the hope for salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. This talk will address the significance of the theological and moral virtue of hope as a necessity for the Christian moral life and salvation. It will explain in what ways hope is foundational for morality. Discussing that the scriptures, the Catholic tradition, and the contemporary magisterium say to this matter, this talk will address the implications for living with Christian hope in a society presently struggling to have hope. Hope is necessary for the believer to live the Christian life, to strive for sanctity with the hope for salvation and the fulfillment of a covenant communion with God. God is always faithful and desires to be in relationship with his people in a covenant of love. The Old Testament covenant bestowed by God in the Ten Commandments to Moses has been fulfilled by the New Covenant with the life, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to save God's people. Hope is the orientation of one's entire Christian life to be in communion with God by being faithful to his covenant. It is a theological virtue, an infused moral virtue, by which one trusts that God keeps his promises. Man hopes for his own salvation and that of God's people by living a moral life. God's gratuitous graces and fidelity to his covenant lead the Christian to approach God in a relationship of filial love. Hope gives the strength for the moral life on earth with the anticipation of beatitude, coming face to face with God. Christian hope is not only for individual salvation, but for the redemption of all God's people. The Christian's hope to draw close to God is expressed in a psalmist's prayer, "But for me it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works." Hope animates the Christian to know him more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly day by day, as the communion of saints did here on earth and continue to do so in heaven. Virtue enables a human person to do good, making its possessor good here and now. Joseph Pieper describes virtue as the perfecting of man for an activity by which he achieves his beatitude. Virtue is the steadfastness of man's orientation toward the realization of his nature that is toward good. The goal of the Christian life is this complete happiness. On earth, it begins with the hope for salvation that lies in the heart of one who has faith. Hope motivates the soul to be moral. As a theological virtue, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, it relates the believer directly to God, the Trinity. Hope is essential for the moral life. Father Cesario says, as the practice of the theological and moral virtues enables a person to both pursue with intelligence and embrace with discrimination the real goods of supernature and nature that are intended by God to perfect human existence, it is by living the moral life that man obtains the ultimate good. The virtue of hope is fundamental to moving each person to strive daily to be moral, to grow in charity, and ultimately to become holy. Hope puts the believer in direct relationship with the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. From the moment of baptism, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love are infused into the believer who is given the gift of participation in the life of the Blessed Trinity. According to paragraph 1813 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the theological virtues are the foundation of Christian moral activity. They animate it and give it its special character. They inform and give life to all the virtues. They are infused by God into the souls of the faithful to make them capable of acting as children and children of God and of meriting eternal life. God shares his divine life with his children by gratuitously bestowing on them the theological virtues. The believer has hope by which he desires the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as his happiness, placing his trust in Christ's promises and relying not on his own strength, but on the help from God's grace. Continual conversion and new life are required of those who receive the free gift of adoption as God's children. By practicing the theological and moral virtues, a person becomes disposed to moral goodness and activity so that it becomes a habitual way of life, lived according to Christian morality in which union with God is the ultimate goal. It is known that God puts us in the world to know, to love, and to serve him, and to come to paradise. Beatitude makes us partakers of the divine nature and of eternal life. With beatitude, man enters into the glory of Christ and into the joy of the Trinitarian life. This journey towards beatitude begins on earth with baptism, when the gifts of faith, hope, and love are infused into the soul by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Father Cesario explains how hope puts the Christian in direct contact with God. As a theological virtue, hope specifically unites the believer with God as his or her supreme and ultimate good. This orientation comes solely from God. God alone specifies the theological virtues. He is the first truth for faith. He is the highest good for hope. He is the highest good in himself for charity. This means that the theological virtues have the one and triune God for their origin, motive, and end. The theological virtues dispose Christians to live in a relationship with the Holy Trinity. This relationship with the Trinity comes from an authentic Christian moral life in which the believer actively hopes for the final salvation and union with God, beatitude. The virtue of hope turns one toward God. Joseph Pieper, in his book, Faith, Hope, and Love, writes, "Hope experiences the firmness of orientation toward good above all as a God-given turning to God, that is, as a theological virtue. In hope, man reaches with restless heart, with confidence and patient expectation toward the arduous not yet of fulfillment. As a pilgrim, he is in a state of being on the way, status viatoris, the proper virtue of the not yet. Hope enables one to anticipate the good of the future as well as to strive to live morally in the present for the beatitude that has not yet been obtained or seen. Those who have faith are certain that God fulfills his promises of salvation. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, hope as a moral virtue begets magnanimity, courage, and humility. Magnanimity and courage are virtues related to fortitude, to do great things, while humility makes one realize he or she is a creature created by God. For Pieper, magnanimity and humility are essential for man's becoming. Magnanimity, a much forgotten virtue, is the aspiration of the spirit of great things, firm confidence in the highest possibilities of that human nature that God did marvelously ennoble and has still more marvelously renewed. It always and particularly in ethical matters decides in favor of what is, at any given moment, the greater possibility of the human potentiality for being. This aspiration for great things with confidence in God goes hand in hand with humility. Humility is an attitude of being a creature before God the Creator. Joseph Pieper describes, humility rests on an interior decision of the will. It is the attitude of man before the face of God. It is the function of humility to be the negative measure of instinctive natural hope. Hope is the confidently patient expectation of eternal beatitude in a contemplative and comprehensive sharing of the triune life of God. Hope expects from God's hand the eternal life that is God himself. The virtue of humility that comes from hope is the disposition of being oriented toward the ultimate good with the understanding that the final goal of eternal life cannot yet be obtained on earth. This humility is the keen awareness that man is the process of becoming, is in the process of becoming, and has not yet reached his fulfillment. Man, on the way, is led by hope toward being and away from nothingness. He is existentially oriented toward his own being, his becoming, and simultaneously oriented toward God, divine being. An authentic Christian life lived with hope and the practice of moral acts results in man's progressive nearness to God, constant conversion. The habitus of hope disposes the Christian to configuration to Jesus Christ. Conversion and configuration to Christ require purification of desires and rejection of sin. There are two kinds of sin against hope that gravely offend the love of God, despair and presumption. Despair is a sin by which man ceases to hope for his personal salvation from God, for help in attaining it, or for the forgiveness of his sins. Despair is contrary to God's goodness, to his justice, for the Lord is faithful to his promises and his mercy. Presumption is a sin of pride, which has two faces. The Catechism states, either man presumes upon his own capacities, hoping to be able to save himself without help from on high, or he presumes upon God's almighty power or his mercy, hoping to obtain his forgiveness without conversion and glory without merit. It is with prayer, contrition for sins, and reliance on God for help that one can guard himself or herself from these sins of hopelessness. Hope disposes the Christian to rely on the infinite goodness and promises of God, to ask pardon for sins as well as for the help of God's grace with the hope of life everlasting through the merits of Jesus Christ. Growing in the moral virtues of courage, magnanimity, and humility, the Christian can reject the sins of despair and presumption, turning confidently to God, who is love. God's covenant love is revealed throughout sacred scripture. In salvation history, God saves his people from slavery, oppression, danger, harm, death, sickness, and sin. The prophet Jeremiah shows the providential love of God for his people. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. He saves them for the restoration of the relationship they had prior to original sin and infidelity. God longs for reconciliation with his chosen people, who have hope for eternal life with him. They long to see the king in his beauty. They will behold a land that stretches afar. Their hope is for their redemption and the restoration of their relationship with God. The Old Testament experiences of the manifestations of God's saving power, the Psalms and the prophets, prepare them for the new covenant. In Jesus Christ, God's people behold their Savior and King, who shows them the way to eternal life, the kingdom of heaven. Fulfilling his mission, Jesus saves them by his life, death, and resurrection. His resurrection gives witness to the eternal salvation of God's people. It is love of God and hope for salvation that fosters the Christian life and moral activity. Salvation history shows that the human heart is animated and strengthened by God's promises and love, helping the Christian to live the moral life with hope. It is through Jesus Christ that God's people are saved. The name Jesus means in Hebrew, God saves, as St. Matthew testified, for he will save this people from their sins. Jesus' mission is to redeem God's people and to restore their closeness with him. Justification from sin comes by the grace which comes from faith in Jesus Christ. St. Paul teaches, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God. It is not from works. St. Thomas Aquinas reflects on this passage, emphasizing the virtue of hope. For to be saved is the same as to be justified. Salvation implies a freedom from dangers. Hence, man's perfect salvation will be an eternal life when he will be immune from all dangers, as a ship is said to be safe when it has arrived at port. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Men receive the hope of this salvation when they are justified from sin in the present and are thus referred to as saved, for we are saved by hope. It is revealed that salvation comes by justification from sin, which comes from the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Having hope for salvation, Christians genuinely anticipate in the present what is to come in the future. St. Paul confirms this as he writes, being justified, therefore, by faith, we are at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The steadfast love and dwelling with God in the promised land, hoped for by the Israelites, is found in the person of Jesus Christ, who leads them to everlasting life. He is their hope, motivating them to follow him more nearly. The gifts of the theological virtues, participation in the divine life, and the promise of beatitude inspire in the believer constant conversion and new life. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches the beatitude we are promised confronts us with decisive moral choices. It invites us to purify our hearts of bad instincts and to seek the love of God above all else. Every Christian is called to live a holy and moral life, to be sanctified daily by virtuous acts. St. Paul teaches how to rely on Christ and live with hope here and now. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that persons are saved. He, the Good Shepherd, is their hope who will lead them to salvation and complete happiness. Although beatitude is not yet obtained now, the act of hoping, Father Cesario explains, possesses a suitable perfection in itself, and thus the believer is saved by hope. Hope is necessary for redemption and restoration of the personal, intimate friendship with God, which was lost by the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Pope Benedict XVI, in his encyclical, Spe Salvi, states that man is redeemed by love. God, who is love, gives his children the gift of hope for their salvation with a share in his divine life. Pope Benedict XVI articulates how the Christian's life is fulfilled in God. Whoever is moved by love begins to perceive what life really is. He begins to perceive the meaning of the word of hope that we encountered in the baptismal rite, "From faith I await eternal life," the true life which, whole and unthreatened, in all its fullness, is simply life. Life in its true sense is not something we have exclusively in or from ourselves. It is a relationship. And life in its totality is a relationship with him who is the source of life. If we are in relationship with him who does not die, who is life itself and love itself, then we are in life. Then we live. The God who created humanity desires to give his children life and happiness. The creation can only be redeemed and restored by the Creator himself. Cardinal Ratzinger teaches that humanity's salvation can only come from the Creator. Since the relationship with the creation has been damaged, only the Creator himself can be our Savior. We can be saved only when he from whom we have cut ourselves off takes the initiative with us and stretches out his hand to us. Only being loved is being saved, and only God's love can purify damaged human love and radically reestablish the network of relationships that have suffered from alienation. It is the Creator's love incarnate, his Son Jesus Christ, who redeems all of humanity. Salvation comes from God alone. It does not come from human strength, but God's grace. Hope gives the believer strength to strive to be holy and live a moral life each day. St. Paul speaks of the longing for restoration of creation and life with God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in travail together until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. It is this hope for redemption and salvation that gives God's children the ability and strength to live the moral life according to the example of Jesus, the Savior. This life cannot be lived without help from God. Pope Benedict XVI states the importance of having hope. What this means is that every generation has the task of engaging anew in the arduous search for the right way to order human affairs. This task is never simply completed. The task of having hope is a struggle, yet hope in God gives strength to the faithful. As Pope Benedict XVI states, we need the greater and lesser hopes that keep us going day by day. But these are not enough without the great hope, which must surpass everything else. This great hope can only be God, who encompasses the whole of reality, and who can bestow upon us what we, but ourselves, cannot attain. The fact that it comes to us as a gift is actually part of hope. Like Pope Benedict, St. Paul confronts life's struggles with hopefulness, and he gains strength from hope, saying, "But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." He has more joy in the glory of God and everlasting life than in the matters of the world. For those of us who are living the Christian life, let us gain such strength in adversity with acts of hope that lead souls to salvation and life in God's love. In a world riddled with sin, one of the greatest challenges for Christians today is to have hope in the face of hopelessness. Although creation is presently corruptible and subject to death, the Christian anticipates the final coming together of the new heaven and the new earth, God's supreme act of a new creation. Faith-filled Christians who believe in Christ's resurrection have confidence that where there is death, there is hope. They are called to build for the kingdom, accomplishing something that will become in due course part of God's new world. Every act of kindness, charity, and gratitude towards others, every beautiful work, such as art or music, contributes to God's recreation of his wonderful world. Pope Benedict XVI addresses the need to learn to purify our desires and hopes. The virtue of hope teaches the human heart to undergo this purification. It allows the Christian to purify his or her memory. Hope grows through the purification of memory, resulting in forgiveness and freedom. It is with prayer and trust in God's providence that the Christian can continue to hope and persevere in the moral life to reach the final goal of salvation and beatitude. Pope Benedict XVI advises the Christian to have great hope. We become capable of the great hope, and thus we become ministers of hope for others. Hope, in a Christian sense, is always hope for others as well. It is an active hope in which we struggle to prevent things moving towards the perverse end. It is an active hope also in the sense that we keep the world open to God. Only in this way does it continue to be a truly human hope. Prayer is the expression of hope. With confidence in Jesus Christ, Christians have a responsibility to pray for humanity's salvation and for the ordering of human affairs. It is an active hope in which the Christian exercises moral virtue and perfects not only himself, but also brings the love of God to others. In conclusion, the virtue of hope is necessary for the Christian to persevere daily in the moral life and to live in God's love. It is by God's grace and moral activity that the Christian is strengthened by hope and anticipates salvation in the status fiatoris, the state of being on the way to his or her fulfillment. Union with God begins on earth through the Christian life and can only reach its completion in the kingdom of heaven. By the graces bestowed at baptism, God the Father gives his adopted children the gift of participation in his divine life. Living the moral life daily, the Christian who has hope contributes to God's new creation with every good act and every prayer.
That was Sister Anthony Mary with What is Hope? For more from Reasons for Hope 2014, visit cradio.org.au.